Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are about ready to dive into kind of one of these super magic topics of web development, because nobody really knows exactly the algorithm that Google or Bing or any of the other search results will handle bounce rates. But there are a bunch of tips that we can look at to not only improve bounce rates, improve our SEO, and deal with that. So most SEO gurus believe that, you know, a huge influencing factor on search engine rankings is whether or not somebody who clicks from a search result to go to your website or your client's website, do they actually stay on that site? Or do they click on that link from a Google search result and immediately jump back to the Google search result? And, you know, Google's tracking that type of thing. All the different search engines, they're tracking those type of things. And those are bounce rate. Now, you might be wondering, is there an actual technical definition of a bounce rate? And it actually is. It is bounce rate is simply the single page sessions divided by all sessions. So now that's a quick look at it, but there is other things like time. If somebody spends 12 minutes on your homepage and then goes back, that's not going to be a bounce per se in the factored bounce rate, but it will also make a point that the search engines may say, hey, well, the person didn't find any value beyond this one point of information. So normally it's when a user opens a single page, immediately exits without triggering any additional requests from that session. Those are all things. So now, there's a lot of bounce rates by web types in terms of some, and this is from Custom Media Labs. Let me just bring this image up. Depending on the type of image, I'm going to pause for 1 second. Oh, no, we're good. It's getting a phone call coming in. I'm expecting a phone call since the wife is out and didn't want to miss a phone call. All right. So these are to be expected for specific websites. If you are building a landing page for your client or for yourself, you can expect 60 to 90% bounce rate, and that will be okay because that's to be expected for that type of site. But an e-commerce or a retail website, you should be way lower, a 20 to 45% bounce rate. The lower is always going to be the better. But when you're talking about blogs, portals, dictionaries, even non-e-commerce websites, bounce rates can be as high as 50% or more. So this is a very telling collection of statistics. If your client's website has a 0 to 2% bounce rate, you're doing awesome because you have found ways to keep them. Or Sherry, one of the other things that that you may not want to talk about, or maybe you do, that your SEO is so good that you've already targeted and fine-tuned the people you are requesting to come to your website. So people will have higher bounce rates if you are doing one of these shotgun SEO, let me see if I can rank on anything and everything. Because then they're going to show up in a lot more search results, and it's probably a good indication with a higher bounce rate. Well, the search result that person was getting was not what the original person who visited. And that's true. If you, as you put, Sherry, when you work on SEO and you target your search rankings, your bounce rate will drop because you're targeting over people who would actually want to visit your website. Now, you might be wondering, well, what about how can I find stuff in Google Analytics? So this is a nice little screenshot here of a Google Analytics. And in the default Explorer under all pages, so basically it's behavior, all pages, you get a bounce rate per page, things that Google has already started indexing. So you can easily start to say, oh, if I get a really low bounce rate on a high quality page, that's awesome. But if on like this feature one, that's the other thing. This is one of those ones that, oh, the features are getting a 20, almost 25% bounce rate. Maybe I need to work on this page. It could be you need to work on content, or it could be you need to work on the SEO, work on the title tags, work on the meta descriptions, so that those people who you are trying to get to that page from a search ranking actually want to learn about the features of whatever your website is. So again, there are different things. You can find them in acquisitions, channels, bounce rate. You can find them on acquisitions source bounce rate. And you can find them on acquisitions when you go into the AdWord campaigns. You can find the bounce rates. But the quickest way to get bounce rates for your sites, if you are using Google Analytics, is go to behavior all pages, and you will get a standardized bounce rate for your entire site, as well as a breakdown on individual sites. So now let's talk about why we're really here today. How do we reduce bounce rates? So the first one we've already kind of touched on, the number one thing you can do to reduce bounce rates on your site is to optimize your traffic and your content first. So let's go create a blog post. I think I have slim SEO or something. I have a simple SEO. Yeah, here we go. This will be what we do. So if I have some great content about bounce rates, blah, blah, bounce rates. Awesome content, isn't that? Now, if we were doing like a meta tag of how to reduce bounce rate on your website, and that's our title, and then we have blah, blah, bounce rates, whatever. We are going to get people who come to our website who maybe they build their website with Drupal. Maybe they build it in HTML, CSS. Maybe they host it on, Shopify. Those, and if what we're writing is how do we reduce bounce rates on WordPress sites, we want to eliminate people who aren't interested in WordPress sites. So simply taking some meta title information or meta description information and modifying that, working on your SEO, we can filter out before they come to our website the Drupal people, the Joomla people, the HTML people. Because rather than say on your WordPress site, how about on your WordPress site? Just something as simple as that. Name it very specific to your target audience, your meta title. And again, you could leave your title here if you wanted to, some great content about bounce rates or something. But when we talk to the search engines, we need to target the traffic because that will increase the quality of the traffic. It's going to bring people who are looking for the WordPress site. Another thing that will increase your or decrease your bounce rate. I know a number of the members here in WP Studio, you handle the web development for your local town or community. You should be using that community, town, name, whatever, location in the meta titles, in the meta description, so that you're not just saying the greatest car wash in the world. And then everybody, and for some reason, you've done some amazing SEO, and now you're getting car wash stuff for people who are looking in California, except you're down in Mississippi. So you want to target it. You want to say something, or now Ohio, you want to say the greatest car wash in Akron, Ohio. And then it's going to self-select and prevent, not prevent. I mean, if somebody from California wants to go see the greatest car wash in Akron, Ohio, they're going to do that. But that's the number one thing you can do to lower your bounce rate. It's the optimization of your traffic and your focus. The next one is something you probably don't want to talk about. Or some of you may not want to talk about it. Now, again, this is just one of our standard sites. I've got some weird hooks going on. The second thing I can say about bounce rates is pop-ups. There's lots of pop-ups. How many of you, when you visit a website and all of a sudden pop-ups start showing up, you leave the site? Now, some of you may just simply close the pop-ups. That's true. But there's a large majority of people who are simply going to leave the site if there is a pop-up. Now, there's a difference between a pop-up that takes over the page, prevents you from continuing to see the content, and a pop-over or a notification bar. Something that does not prevent the user or the visitor to your website from consuming your content is not what I'm trying to tell you to avoid. I'm saying avoid the things that, even though you may find increased opt-in rates, absolutely. I even read recently that even in today's day and age, if you have a pop-up for a newsletter, you can get almost a 250% increase in opt-in rates of people who visit your website. But that has a detrimental impact on your, bounce rates. So if your bounce rates are already really low, maybe it's not going to hurt you as much if you have a pop-up to temporarily increase your mailing list. But if you just have something that will maybe like make some a hover bar where somebody can still consume the content, they can visit the different pages on your site, they can access your navigation, they can move around, they can consume things, that's a much better way of handling that. But we also have this thing called banner blindness. Lots of people are getting used to seeing pop-ups, used to seeing banners. If you actually need something for somebody to do, that's okay. But really consider, is it going to harm your bounce rate? Because sure, I could put an ad on the sidebar, or we could highlight it some other way. Only do a pop-up or a pop-over if you actually have a rational reason and you've thought through it. Now, one of the other things that can be beneficial is if you do use pop-ups, whether for email notification or email subscriptions or other ads that are going on for your clients, or maybe your client says, we've got to have this because I went to this seminar on marketing and we got to put this on the website. Can you put this on the website? One of the best ways is to make sure nobody just disappears from your website because of the pop-up, which will then affect your bounce rate. So ways you can do this is set a pop-up or a pop-over to, if once the client or visitor has scrolled over 50% of the content, maybe pop up in a corner or a hover over. Or have a window that slides in, not obtrusive. Or maybe you wait till they've actually done something or they've clicked on three things on your website and then it pops up. Because then we get into having length of time on the website before somebody disappears. So those are all big things when we come to dealing with pop-ups. So quick recap. For the pop-ups, don't use them unless you have to. Better to use notifications, regular ads, banners that do not prevent access to the website. And three, if you have to use them, use something that you're requiring the visitor to do interaction with your website, scrolling, clicking, interacting with the website somewhere before you show the initial pop-up. Now, second, the third thing. So we talked about the pop-up. We talked about your SEO. The other one is you need to actually have a quality navigation. WordPress makes it really easy to create navigations with the nav menus in WordPress. And it's called navigation because that's the way your visitors are going to get around to different sites. You don't want to have too many. You don't want to get somebody lost in the navigation. So when you are either planning the website with the client or on your own, or you're going to redo the client site, it's probably a good idea for you to know the four or five main sections or the usages that are going to be used, the key areas of a site, and you put those there. It's perfectly fine having submenus once you get into a deeper area, especially if your site needs it. Now, you might be wondering, well, I've got a menu for a site for a client, but how can I know if people aren't using those? Because a lot of times Google Analytics and other analytics aren't set up in a way to handle navigation link clicking because they're just generic inner site linkings. And so you might have for the Hello World, the sample page or whatever navigation you have. You may also have links to those pages from other areas, and Google Analytics isn't going to be able to process that. So Kinsta, you know, the hosting and WordPress people, they pointed out that, you know, one of the best ways to deal with this is use a heat map tool. And just run that heat map tool on your home page, because what you're looking specifically for is what are they clicking on the nav menu? And all of a sudden, we can see that, you know what? Nobody really cares about the contact of the client in the top menu. So could we simplify it by only having three options on the top menu? And sure, maybe in the footer, you put information about clients. In the footer, you put information about contact. But you can see with a heat map, hey, we have the ability to say whether or not somebody is actually doing something. Now, let me go to Google. It's always a good idea to check and see what Google is doing. Reason why is Google utilizes white space. So if you want to improve your bounce rates, have you looked and seen what you are doing in the white space? Notice how with Google, hey, they now have something that they're normally advertising now or pushing in the white space. This also is, if out of the blue, there's something that is slightly different. Sure, we can see up here, we got our navigation. We recognize Google being here, but then there's something else that directs visitors to something. So if on your homepage, if in your white space or area that is just not cluttered with something, there is a link to something, you are saying this is important, and this is a way to guide users in a certain directions. Plus, if you utilize white space on a website, that empty space gives readers' eyes a chance to kind of rest. And therefore, if their eyes get rested, they can see, you know, really, where is the importance of this? So there is a website over here called The Power of the White Space. And let me put this in the chat room. It's from a year ago. It doesn't take that long to read. Bear with me 1 second. I realized I need to put the chat room over here. I would encourage everybody to read this one. It's a great article about white space. And if you understand this, what can go into it, content, user, branding, what type of messaging, where should you put stuff? Is there active white space versus passive white space? This will help improve your bounce rate. Because a simple thing of making it something illegible, there's no white space, making something with white space or too much, it might actually be negative or positive. Somebody may leave your site based upon that idea. Now, once you've seen this article, it comes down to another article of, hey, what about, oops, one second. Let me go to this. Let's go to Stripe. We're going to use some other page examples. So Stripe has this ability of making words readable. There's space in between the lines. The font is easily scannable. I can quickly look through, and it doesn't matter whether there's a background. And even in the smaller prints, the font size isn't too small. So notice how there's a larger font, and then there's a smaller font, but the smaller font has enough white space around it. And I would say one of the biggest, quickest ways to get somebody to bounce off your website is the fonts are too small. I bring up Stripe because they do have quite small, but if we dive into even the smallest one, let me come over here just to show you. They're actually using 15 pixel with extra line height, 1.6. It's amazing that they are using 15 pixels because most websites say at the minimum you should be using 14 pixels. So Stripe goes one more. And by default, I think font they use, I can't remember if they use 17 or 18. No, they're using 24 on this regular one. So don't be afraid for, I think some web developers can be a little hesitant to use larger font sizes on web pages. But this just proves that we've got 24 pixels on a high quality website. And that's just for the regular readable content. So that's one of the ways to handle that. Now, WordPress can give you a very easy way to handle this. And this can kind of give you a setting point. Some themes already have a default font size. But if I'm coming in here, I'm going to go to my body tag and automatically just put the default font size at 18 pixels. And by setting a default font size at 18 pixels, if the theme is done right, everything is based off of that. So that if it's 1.2 EM or REM, everything's basing off of your body tag. So it's a simple fix on a website that maybe you already have going on. Just use the WordPress customizer, go to the body. The reason why I'm saying go to the customizer is you can then navigate the website, make sure you didn't blow anything out, make any quick changes. But having a font size that's large enough is going to decrease the bounce rate because people can read your content. All right. The other way, I think this is number six, of adding related content. I would personally not load up one of those related content plugins because it's always constantly tagging your database. It's going to slow down your website. I would go back to this, your Google Analytics, looking at bounce rates for your top performing pages. And make sure your top performing pages, if any of them have high bounce rates, start looking at adding your own block of code, whether it's a hook or something else, to related content so that you say, hey, you know what, if they're interested in this great quote about bike messengers by day and the doohickey company, you might be interested in this other article about bicycle repair shops in Los Angeles, or these. And one of the neat ways I've seen done for this, and I wish more people did this, simply adding a title to your featured block, hand-picked or hand-curated articles. There's going to give this effect of, wow, we've got this site where there's the editors are handpicking content that they think I could go to. It's just, it's a way to add a personal touch to it. And it's not just a standardized, well, here's my plugin I've dropped in from WordPress, which is going to put some random content, random related posts. So that's what I would actually look at. Okay. So those are some of the quick things that we can do with getting bounce rates lower. Some of the other things we can start doing is, what if somebody runs to a, I think I actually have a 404 page that I need to fix. Hold on. I think Zion Builder is running a 404 page. I wonder if I did that. All right. Well, somebody's using a 404 page and it's not showing up anything. So I'd have to fix that. But creating your 404 error page, more people are going to, especially as your site grows, find error 404 errors because they link to someplace or it's an old link that's no longer used. Make sure your 404 error page actually has valid links for people who want to know more. Things like adding in top content on this site, things that you might be looking for. Here's our search to find the page that you were looking for that we don't know where it is. So that's a big thing. Make sure you write a 404 page that gives actions. Other ones that, I mean, it's, this may sound just like this is common sense, but spelling errors and typos. I have an account at Grammarly just because I'm horrible at it. And I try my best to make sure that there's no typos or grammar, but I'm going to fail at it. And so that's why I have Grammarly to try and help me. I also have other people who look over things. If you need more of a free one and you don't want to pay for Grammarly, one thing I will suggest to you is called the Hemingway app. How many of you have heard of the Hemingway app? Let me put this in the chat room. The Hemingway app, basically, it does have a desktop app, or you can just use the web area. It does similar things to Grammarly. It will look over your content. It will give you a grade. It will give you word numbers. You can add number of words. You can see all sorts of stuff. You have suggestions. This is the passive voice. This is it. So here's what I would say. Rather than telling a client to go get their Grammarly account, you could. If they're going to be writing content, why not just encourage them that before they post any content or their next blog post or their next article, drop it into the Hemingway Editor app here, or they can download the desktop app, and you will get, Grammarly wants you to know that it's mouse over, and they didn't, which is kind of funny. All right. So that's something to be aware of. We'll leave that site. We'll leave that. So make sure your grammar, your typos, and you have your tools for handling this. Okay. Another way to increase or decrease, I'm going to keep saying that, to decrease your bounce rate is when you link to somebody else's website where the user may not like this, but it's going to help you and it's going to help your client's sites. Make sure you open external links in new tabs or new windows. I know you as the user hate it when they do that, or at least I do, but it's good for their website. So therefore, if you are sitting here in, you know, WordPress and we've got a blog post that we are writing and we're going to link to another site and we come over here, boom, let's link to it. Open in a new tab. Whatever you're going to, if it's going to another site, if it's going to your own site, don't do this. If it's going to an external site, do this. Because A, it's going to keep somebody on your site in a prior tab. And B, it's going to preserve the ability for the client to easily get back there. It's beneficial for SEO. Especially if you link to a high trafficked, high quality website, you want to do that. But we don't want to just simply be linking to another site, even if it's a high quality site. But we don't want to lose for our own site. I haven't really noticed different bounces, because on the front end, classic editor versus block editor, most people on the front end just reading a site, they don't know what editor you use to create the content. So in the same way, any link to an outside site, you need to do this, open a new tab. You need to internally link a lot. And it's a habit you need to get into. I would say literally every single one of your posts or content for a client site, it should link to, at the bare minimum, each post, two other locations in your website. That might mean you need to actually go back in and write an additional paragraph that talks about the company, that you gives you the ability to link to a features page, links to a past product, link to something, because you need to have your site interlinked. That's going to allow people to easily navigate, stay on your site, continually dig deeper into content. Sherry, yeah, there's no bounce rate when you are working in the back end of WordPress. It is basic. And now, the only way you get a bounce rate is if for some reason you're indexing the back end of WordPress, and then instead of just going to the website to do your admin stuff, you go to Google, search for that specific admin page, and then link to it. That's the only way there'd be a bounce rate. It's only if we are going through search engine results. Be careful with advertising as we get back onto the front end. And that's where A/B testing comes in. Some advertisements are going to make somebody, are going to chase people away. Other advertising people are going to be blind to. Other advertising people are going to feel like it goes directly, or it feels like it flows with the content. So if you or your clients rely on advertising to make money on your sites, anything obtrusive, annoying, non-geared, non-related to what the site is about, it's going to seriously impact your bounce rate, because people are just going to leave. Now, let's see if I can. No, I'll just leave it as the A/B testing. Always implement an internal search. It doesn't have to be straight up on the front page. It could be in a footer section. It could be back here in something that's not outward. Most people now understand that if I'm going to a site that somebody referred me to, or somebody said something, I should go to this site, or I'm linking to it from a search result. If I don't immediately find what I'm looking for, and you have not given me the ability to search for something, we want that last chance to find the product for them or find the site for them. And actually, the final tip, Sherry, you actually hit a nail on the head. Slow site speeds are going to affect bounce. I'm actually dealing with a slow issue right now that I'm trying to trace down. I just don't have the time that I want to with WP Studio. And it actually deals with BB Press. There is something going on with Lightspeed Server and BB Press that is causing, if you want to leave a message or a reply in the forum, there's chances that sometimes it goes through lightning fast. Other times it sits on the page for like a minute and a half waiting to submit. And I've gone through error logs, server logs, PHP access logs, all sorts of stuff. And turns out there is an issue with BB Press that they've known about for 8 years, but just nobody's been able to fix it. And yes, and any type of an error code of any 503. Here's a quick fix. Here's a quick fix, especially if you're on like DigitalOcean Server Pilot, or you've got your own server or a virtual private server. When was the last time you restarted the server? There are now so many tools, add-ons, plugins that are running on servers that are creating log files, and not all of them clear log files properly. If you have too many log files, your server will basically grind to a halt or crash. And the only thing that happens, and unless you actually write server code to automatically clear caches, and that can take time to narrow it down. But every single time you reboot a server, all your caches and temporary files are cleared. That's how Linux servers work. They don't survive past a reboot. So if you're running into those problems, you have slower speed, load speeds, pages are taking longer than 3 seconds, because once it goes past 3 seconds, the stats say you lose about 40% of your traffic. That's a huge bounce rate. I would schedule possibly almost weekly or every other week. Sometime when it's not nobody else's or lesser traffic is used, I just reboot the server. Now, don't worry, especially if you're using something like a DigitalOcean server. It takes like 3 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds to reboot a server. You can actually go to the DigitalOcean control panel and go to the power setting, and there is a force reboot. So you don't even have to go into the console commands to reboot on that. Your server will be back up in 3 seconds. And it will have cleared out all the cache and all the temp files. Okay, that's a little bit of a detour. But if you have fast loading pages, you're going to improve your bounce rates. So, quick recap. Optimize your traffic, the content. make sure your SEO is on point and you are targeting the type of people who aren't going to leave your site. Second thing is pop-ups. Only use it if you have to, and avoid any pop-ups that restrict the access of your site. Those especially, I mean, here's the other thing. Here's a perfect example of actually what's killing some news organizations. Somebody gave them the idea that they should put all their news behind paywalls. And so they started doing this. Sure, you can use it. You can read three or four articles, and then we're going to restrict your access from seeing it. Well, what it has done, if you actually look at bounce rates and reports, the bounce rates on most major media companies, their newspaper websites, are through the roof. And that is actually triggering their quality of content to go down. And so we've actually, you can actually trace the history of some of these, you know, Wall Street Journal, Market Watch, other things. They used to have, especially like Market Watch. Market Watch let you basically used to let you read everything. Market Watch now restricts you to four articles a month. And their search rankings have dropped big time. You don't normally see Market Watch show up on a top search result because of bounce rate. People just leave. They see that, oh, that article was for Market Watch. Oh, I can't see it. They've blocked my access. I leave. Their search results go down. So they wonder why their advertising rates go down. Well, because their traffic goes down. It's one of these simple solutions, but people have just got in their mind they need to charge for something. All right, deal with your menus. Make sure you work with the menus, use like a heat map thing on there. Work with your white space so you can target your stuff. Make sure your fonts are not too small. Make sure if you're going to do related content, related posts, make it a personal blog, personal hand curated. Here are articles that would doing. And John, great question. Yeah, rebooting servers on shared hosting really isn't going to, you don't have that access. So that's not something you can do. If you're wondering if you have too many temp files or log files, you can ask the support, how often are log files or temp files purged? Because from what I've seen, a lot of shared hosting companies, they already have the regularly scheduled cleanup of the servers that happen automatically. But it's just one of those things that I would ask. And you can find out. All right. So make sure with the related post, customize your 404 error page, deal with your spelling, get your client to work with grammar apps. Make sure you understand the linking. Make sure external links go to new tabs or new windows. Internal links stay within the same window. And then finally, really the big one is making sure you have internal search and make sure your page loads fast enough. If you work on all of those, your bounce rate will go down. And in the reverse side of the ranking, when your bounce rate comes down, Google starts to believe the quality of your content is higher and you start to rise in the ranks. So dealing with bounce rates is a really good thing. This is also one of these conversations you can have with clients because you can present them with, you know, certain bounce rates. And you can say, hey, we're doing really well on our pricing page and in your account page, things are handling well, but we've got to get some of the other bounce rates under control. Here is my suggestions. Here's the cost that it will go to tackle these aspects to improve. And you can say that when we do this, your rankings will rise on the search results. So doing those things are things that you can guarantee your clients will get better performance out of their search engines. So I hope this has been helpful. I know we've kind of been just walking all over everything and looking at different items, but I hope just kind of this conversation is helpful to see where you can target and what you can do. And even just doing one or two of them, doing heat maps and doing targeted SEO, or maybe you're already doing SEO. So just dealing with targeted SEO and then doing an analysis of all links. Does every external link have a new tab? Does every internal link stay internally? Those are all things that you can do on a regular basis. And because I just shared with you about 10, 12 different things, this is also a service that you could offer. And each month you focus on a different area. And now you can kind of build this ongoing service that a client can pay for. And in January, you're working on external links, making sure they're all there. You're working on internal links in February. You're dealing with heat maps on April. All different things that doesn't have to be done all at once, but these are tools that will improve your sites and your client sites. All right. Take care, everybody. I hope you guys have a great rest of a Thursday. I'll see you guys around, and we'll get this uploaded as soon as possible.